Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Last week, Moses was a baby being drawn from the river by Pharaoh's daughter. This week, we've jumped ahead not only into his adulthood, but right past the part where he kills an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew slave, and his escape from the wrath of Pharaoh into the land of Midian, where he married the daughter of a priest of Midian and indeed started a family. By the time of our story today, Pharaoh had died, and the condition of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt had worsened to the point where God heard their groaning and decided to take action. I love that image, one of such a huge communal groan that it stood out over and above the commonplace moaning and complaining, as well as the heart-wrenching wails of pain and loss that I imagine must buffet the heart of God every day. But this groan was something more, and it made God take notice in a special way. And so today we arrive at the burning bush and God's call to Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. The story of Moses' call has long been one of my personal favorite stories. I love that Moses was afraid when he realized that God was talking to him. I love that Moses was not expecting this call. I love that Moses was not ready, let alone even initially willing to answer this call. I love that he made excuses. In our passage today, he doubts that he is worthy of such a calling and complains that he won't know what to say. A bit further on in Exodus, he continues to doubt his call, doubting that he will be believed, and then he tries to back out one more time saying, "But I'm really not a good public speaker." I think I love this story because when I first began to explore my own sense of call to the priesthood, I saw so much of my own story mirrored in it. Not the whole leading people out of slavery, you know, starting a nation part, certainly, but the part in which I, like Moses, had a burning bush moment, followed by a period of denial and unbelief that God would indeed call me out. Locked in this insecurity of not thinking that I was smart enough or special enough or perhaps even loved enough by God. As many of you know, prior to attending divinity school, I was a school teacher. And while I ended up growing to love teaching, my first few positions were pretty difficult, and I wasn't particularly happy. I had begun to think about going back to graduate school and getting a master's in public policy analysis. I had studied history and political science as an undergrad. And then one night, I was driving home from work, and I idly asked myself, if I could only do one thing for the rest of my life, what would it be? In the next instant, I literally had an out-of-body experience, a vision, you might call it. I saw myself standing behind an altar in a church, holding up the bread and the wine. When I blinked my eyes a second later, I had to laugh. First of all, in my little vision, my hair was in a French braid. And I had not had hair long enough for a French braid, even at that point, in many years. Secondly, I was wearing gold lamé vestments. Really, how tacky could I be? But regardless, I knew that like Moses, I had stepped onto holy ground, and that my call, which in time I would see had actually been bubbling up since I was a child, was not something I could ignore. And yet, like Moses, I began to come up with excuses. All the priests I knew were so exceptional. They were clever. They were nothing like this Jill of all trades, master of none that I envisioned myself to be. Who was I to think that I could be called to lead in such a way? Was I really even religious enough? I mean, I had not been at that point a regular church attender since I had wandered away during college. Besides which, I had never sat down and read the whole Bible cover to cover. Why would God choose me? Just like with Moses, God answered every hesitation and excuse that I could come up with. It took a while for me to accept these answers, but in time and with the encouragement and support of those around me, I began to grow into a new vision. A vision of how my own gifts and talents, different from the priests that I knew, could be used by God to help spread God's love and compassion and mercy. Just like Moses, I was able to live into my call because God was with me every step of the way, supporting me, equipping me, and loving me. As one of my favorite lectionary bloggers put it, there are moments when God calls us to particular and spectacular tasks. We cannot plan for these moments. We are not told when they are coming. But when we arrive, we have the opportunity to serve God and to be who God created us to be. The burning bushes and the gold lamé vestments are indeed scary, and it can take us time to respond to them. But when we respond to God's love and invitation, then transformation will bloom in our lives and in the lives of those around us. I know some of you have had experiences akin to this. These burning bush experiences of God's call are not limited to just clerical vocation. For some people, this call is connected to their career and work. For many, it's their call to be active in various causes or ministries or charities. These calls are the ones that cannot be ignored, and they call us into action. They are special calls, but they are neither unique nor exclusive. Because God calls us each in different ways, at different times in our lives. Our lessons today are, in fact, show us three different types of call. In Exodus, we get the burning bush moment of call. In Romans, we get the way of being and living your life moments of call. And in Matthew, we get those, excuse my language, holy crap, along the way sense of call. Different facets of this power of God's life to transform our lives, and yet they all invite us to be the people that God hopes us to be and to lead us into action. In the passage from Romans today, we are called as individuals into action with a list of do's and don'ts that teach us how to live in community. An amazing list that calls us to live out our faith in Christ in specific ways and distills our identity as Christians. Love truly and fully. Seek out goodness and turn your back on evil. Be untiring in the service to God. Be hopeful and steadfast in disappointment. Be compassionate and humble. Offer blessing to those who curse you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. These are instructions, our call for how to live in community. And you might notice that our current dismissal mirrors this language a little bit. That's not a mistake. So how is it that we respond to this call? It seems simple enough, but how often do we accept this call in our hearts and then fail to live this call in our lives? The emotions of love are easy. The behaviors of love are much more difficult. We may not make grand or even conscious excuses, but nonetheless, often we shy away from the fullness of this call from God. I think this is because to truly live in community with one another means that we have to make ourselves vulnerable. We have to be vulnerable to let others share our pain. When we're hurting, we have to be vulnerable to allow others even into our joy when we celebrate. We have to be vulnerable when we speak the truth to each other in love when disagreements arise. We have to trust that God is in control and that the Spirit will lead all of us forward together. We have to believe that God will support us, equip us, love us at all times and in all places. God has called us to live here in community, called us into action with one another and in the world. It is a yearning call that reaches into our souls and prays us into a longing for something bigger than ourselves and invites us into a way of being in the world. Our final type of call is that holy crap along the way sense of call that's found in today's passage from Matthew. Finally, alone with the disciples, Jesus began to show. Notice how much more concrete this word show is than just tell. Jesus began to show them what was going to happen when they went to Jerusalem. This was a wake-up call for his friends, and it did not go well with them. Hot-headed Peter played his role as spokesperson for the group once again and spoke out vehemently, resisting the call of Jesus to walk this road with him. This was not only about what was going to happen to Jesus, but what it meant for them as well. Take up your cross and follow me. Holy crap, what have I been called to do? I thought I already had my call to just follow along like a sheep. But you see, discipleship is learned along the way. The disciples in this story had already been disciples for some time. They had already experienced the burning bush sense of call when Jesus personally called each of them to leave their nets and indeed follow. When he sent them out as preachers and teachers, they had already heeded this call to live in community like we hear in Romans. It was only now, in this part of the journey, that they were learning the true cost of discipleship. This new call was not one they had bargained for, and they were beginning to realize that they might just falter and fail before it all ended. We, like the disciples all those centuries ago, are also called to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus. We are called not to orient our lives to the things of the world, but toward God. We too will often falter and fail. But like Peter, the stumbling block this week that comes from the foundational rock of the church we found last week, the one who would very soon even deny Jesus three times, we too can reclaim this call to build our lives around the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need only believe that God will be with us, supporting us, equipping us, and loving us every step of the journey. I think the point of all of this is that God is indeed active in our lives, calling out to us and bidding us into truly being the people of God, beckoning us to live together as the body of Christ, as a symbol of hope in a broken world, and inviting us into transformation through making God our center. I pray that each of us will answer God's call in our lives, making excuses and probably quite a few mistakes along the way, but ultimately trusting in the abiding love of God that carries us forth into new life. Amen.